Hi, this is Juliet the Rabbi, recording from New York City. Good Shabbos. It's almost Shabbos, couple more days. Today I'm going to talk about heretics and Pikudei and creating tension and getting attention. God, I love heretics. Every time I hear a story about a heretic, I'm like, oh, let me hear about this person. This is so cool. I think it takes so much strength and courage to be a heretic openly. This week I heard this amazing story of an evangelical Christian preacher turned heretic, Carlton Pearson. Maybe you've heard of him. He was an African-American minister. He died recently at age 70, and he became the bishop of his church, and he rose to great prominence in the 1980s and 90s. And as an evangelical Christian, he preached a lot about hell, and he explained that this is how talking about hell is how you get people to believe in God, to become, you know, you got to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to accept him as your Lord and Savior, or else you're going to hell. And it was really interesting hearing him talk about how guilty he felt, until he changed his views and started preaching differently. He felt so guilty for not saying, like, he was like, everywhere I went, I had to be preaching. I had to be available no matter what to save somebody, to preach. And if I didn't, oh my God, the weight was on his shoulders. The weight of the world was on his shoulders to save the world. And he was describing the gnashing teeth and the weeping and the wailing that happens in hell. And this is how you keep this is how you keep people coming to church. It's fear. I think Jews can relate to this too. My grandmother refused to say that she didn't believe in God. I remember I used to ask her, Grandma, do you believe in God? Because she would ask me, Juliet, do you believe in God? And I would say, no, Grandma. And she would ask me again, Juliet, do you believe in God? And I would say, no, Grandma. And she would ask me as many times as it took for me to say, yes, Grandma, I believe in God. Oh, good, good. Because it was all about fear. It was fear of punishment. I don't think that she really had a deep belief in God, but she was too afraid to even doubt. My mother didn't think that she believed. So it's the same fear, but for Jews, it's more of this, like, punishment while we're still on earth, a kind of personal hell on earth. Carlton Pearson talks about how he learned the Hebrew word he really studied. And he's like, oh, Gehenna, this is what's in the Bible. That's not hell. It's this place. We don't really know what happens there. And it's not a permanent place of punishment. It's not even necessarily a punishment. Is it Isaac who says to his sons, you're going to send me down to Gehenna. You know, you're making me suffer so much. I think he's the one. He's probably not the only one who says this. But I hope I got the character right. Anyway, you know, for all the suffering that you're causing me. So, you know, that's not God sending him. So anyway, Carlton Pearson, interesting character. He had a moment of enlightenment when he saw images of starving babies in Rwanda on television. This was in the early 90s. And here he describes how he had his beautiful, fat, healthy baby sitting there with food in front of her, eating. And on television, he's watching these starving babies trying to get milk out of breasts that had no milk in them. And in that moment, he began to accuse God. He was like, I don't know how you can call yourself a loving, sovereign God and allow these people to suffer this way and suck them into hell. And God said, well, so how are you going to save them? And he was like, well, I can't, you know, I would have to go down there and preach to them and get them to believe in Jesus Christ. And And then he's like, okay, so go. And he's like, but I can't save this whole world. And God says, precisely. You think we're sucking them into hell? They're already there. You think I make hell? I don't create hell. You're putting out this wrong image of me. I'm not this hateful, hating, punishing God. And then for the first time, Pearson understood that God was not the inventor of hell. And God was like, you have to go, you have to teach a different message. This is the wrong message. People are turning away. They're rejecting me because they think I'm this hateful, punishing God. So suddenly, Carlton Pearson saw how clearly humans are. That humans are not only in imagination, but that we create, we invent hell ourselves. He no longer believed in hell, but he was afraid of what would happen if he suddenly changed his tune. But God said, in order to get attention, you're going to have to create some tension. So Pearson found his courage and he began preaching something different. And he started preaching a Christianity of inclusion for all those rejected by evangelical Christianity. And he had experiences going to churches where he saw that people were being healed and lives were being saved with love as opposed to being damaged by fear and hate. And they declared him, his own church declared him a heretic, and he lost millions of dollars that had poured into his church monthly. People stopped giving. And he suffered the consequences of being rejected by his community. It was as if a cloud had lifted from in front of him, and he now saw things clearly, and he moved forward with confidence despite the consequences. This week's Parsha, it begins with accounts taken of the gold, silver, and copper used in the building of the portable house for God of God's sanctuary. And it ends with a cloud covering God's sanctuary. And it says, and the Israelites could not move forward into action until the cloud lifted. They had to stay where they were for as long as the cloud was over the sanctuary. And maybe it was a year, maybe it was 2 years, but they couldn't move forward until the cloud lifted. That was God. We, like the Israelites, need to take accounting of our actions. We need to open our eyes and see the suffering that we impose on others. Think of the starving babies, the images that you may have seen of starving babies in Gaza. I can't get the image out of my mind. Also, I saw this week Israeli protesters blocking aid into Gaza, Israeli Jewish protesters. They're throwing themselves across the road in front of trucks. Religious people, not all of them, some are secular, but quote-unquote religious people. This one woman was asked, don't you have at least a little compassion for the babies that are starving, for the children and babies? And she said, really coldly, why should I have compassion for future terrorists? But I ask, is this what God wants of us? Are we supposed to create more hatred through hatred? Is this what Judaism teaches us? Are we to become the animals we accuse others of being? It's true that anti-Semitism is rising around the world, but is this an excuse to justify our own criminal actions? And I use that word very loosely, our collective. Every time I write or talk about these things in my blog, in my podcast, just like I am right now, I feel a tension. I feel tension around the possible backlash, the hatred and anger of fellow Jews who may accuse me of heresy. But as God said to Pearson, we have to create tension to get attention. We don't need God's help to create hell. We're doing just fine all by ourselves. So we have to notice and challenge ourselves if we're preaching about a God of hatred and punishment, lest we become the hatred we hate. We can't save the whole world. No. Each of us individually can't, but together we can. So may the cloud lift from before us, so we may see a way forward in a loving, inclusive way, whether others do it or not. And please say amen. And I heard about Carlton Pearson on This American Life this week. It's Heretics. Go to listen to the episode called Heretics. You can also see the Netflix movie I learned about on the podcast. It's called Come Sunday, for a dramatization of his life. Shabbat Shalom. And go to my website, check out what I have, what my offerings, if you can figure out how to leave a comment or a rating for my podcast. I'm not sure how to do it. Depends maybe on where it's posting. But if you can figure it out, I would really appreciate it. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Oh, my website, realrabbinyc.com. And until next time, Shabbat Shalom.